am Walter Robinson II, a missionary church planner and pastor of Windward Bible Church, which is located on the island of Carriacou, Grenada in the West Indies. I am also the founder and webmaster of Last Chance Ministries, or simply LCM. Thanks for visiting and choosing to listen to one of our messages. This message is by me and was recorded live in one of our services at Windward Bible Church. I have included information on how to contact me at the end of the message. I hope you enjoy the message and get some benefit from the teaching of God's Word as you virtually set in on our services via the World Wide Web.
I want to talk to you about looking forward to the changes ahead. Wouldn't it be nice if you establish a comfort zone? And by that I mean that you got everything in your life organized and set up in a way that you were comfortable and happy and everything just went according to your own perfect plan. Wouldn't it be nice if you could get your life into that kind of shape and keep it there? There are people who strive for that. They despise change. And oftentimes, even in my own life, it seems that just when things are getting the way that I really want them, and things are just working just perfectly, it seems like the Lord drops a bomb on me. Maybe some kind of illness strikes without warning. And you wonder, Lord, where did that come from? And you search your heart, and Lord, you know, am I into something? Is there something displeasing in my life? And after you search your life, and usually you find something if you look hard enough at the Lord's help. But it's like the Lord is, he's not saying, well, this is not why those were issues in your life, but, and I'm glad you got this straight, but I'm doing a special work in you right now. And what I want to do with you requires that you go through what you're going through. And there have been many times in my own life that I've asked, Lord, why? But I've never doubted in Him. Because the Scripture says that He's good. And that He makes all things work together for good. Who love the Lord, called according to His promise. And for those who love Him. God is good. I've never, ever seen God bad. Never has He let me down. As David said in one of the Psalms, I was at one time young, but then in his old age he wrote that now I am old. And David said, in all the time I have known and walked with the Lord through the good times, through the difficult times, and even during the times when I was not walking with Him, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Paul wrote to Timothy to say, Timothy, even when we come to the place where we become faithless, when we no longer trust in God, when we can no more be depended on by God, it says that God remains faithful. Jesus remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that is the kind of God that we serve. If we didn't, I'd be in trouble. If we didn't, I wouldn't make it. The Bible says that I am kept by God's power. You are kept by God's power. And each and every day, it is the Lord God Almighty who watches over and cares for each one of us. Now, I wonder, do you have any hopes and dreams and aspirations for this year? I usually have some. But as of about, I'd say a couple of years ago, I've learned to look at each year with the idea that, Lord, whatever you have in store, whatever your plan is, that's what I want. I just seek your guidance and your power and your grace for whatever is ahead. In like manner, the Apostle Paul in his life and his ministry on earth, he came to a point in his life where he realized that the Lord was going to call him on a path that was going to, that required him to leave some things very precious behind, things that were very precious to him behind. I don't know, I've never been in a situation like this, but the Apostle Paul found himself in a situation where there was a church that he loved very much. He had grown to know the people by name. But he came to a point in his ministry where he realized that the Lord was calling him to make the ultimate sacrifice and service to his Lord. And as a consequence, he did not want the church to be left wondering and left up in the air and confused. So he went to a place called Miletus, and he sent to Ephesus and called for all the elders of the church, the leaders of that church, to come and join him, because he wanted to talk to them. It says in verse 17 of Acts chapter 20. And verse 18, it goes on to say, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know that from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews." Paul wrote to these people, he was speaking to them. When they came to him, he said, "You men know me personally. You watched my life when I came to Ephesus bearing the gospel for the first time. You saw the persecution that I suffered. You also saw the affliction that I endured." And he said that from the first day that I came there, you know that I came with a mind of humility, not trying to impress you in a way to make you think that I am something that I am not. But I came with to you in simplicity of speech. In another place he said the only thing that he wanted the churches to know to whom he had been sent was Jesus and salvation by grace through faith in him. I'm an expository preacher and have always have been. I've never been anything else. I believe that's the kind of preacher that the Apostle Paul was. There are times that as an expository preacher you get excited and you get wound up, but no matter what you're doing, it's still expository preaching. And so Paul is sitting down and he's talking to these men, and he says here, in verse 20, he says, "I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Turn with me for a moment over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. Notice what he wrote to Timothy. And I believe that this was something that Paul could say to any of those who had kept their eye on him throughout his ministry. He says, "But you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions and afflictions. This came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Basically, Paul's life was an open book. If you look closely into Paul's life, you found no surprises. What you saw when Paul was proclaiming the Word of God is what you saw when Paul was sitting down in his tent making another tent as a tent maker. Paul did not hesitate to let people know where he stood on any and all doctrinal issues. When it says here that you have fully known my doctrine, it is a word that talks about how someone actually follows you along and they keep their eyes on you the whole time. It's almost like if you've ever had a little brother or a little sister and they follow you around everywhere you go. And they see everything that you do and they hear everything you say. And if you say or do something that they know is wrong, they can go back to mom and dad and say, I saw them do this. They can tattletale because they are all the time in your business. The Apostle Paul lived in such a way that people were in his business all the time. He did not consider that an intrusion, but he considered that as a calling, as any minister of the gospel should. Notice also what he says in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that Paul said that everything that I wrote to you and everything that all the other apostles have written unto you and everything that the prophets of the Old Testament have written to you, they wrote to you because God himself, by his Spirit, inspired them or breathed into them what they were to write. And he said, the word of God that came through such an agency is profitable, is beneficial for doctrine, that's for teaching, for reproof, that's exposing what is right and showing what is exposing what is wrong and showing what is right, for correction and for instruction in righteousness. And notice what he said. He said, this and this alone enables the man of God to be perfect and thoroughly or perfectly furnished unto all good works. I must remind you that he's writing to a young man in the faith that's kind of timid. If you recall, he said to Timothy, Timothy, let no one look down on you because of your youth. Don't let anyone set aside the position that you have been given in the body of Christ by the calling of God that you have accepted. Though you are young and though you are inexperienced, no doubt Timothy probably did not, I would say Timothy probably did not attend the best rabbinical schools of his day, even as Paul had. As you recall, Paul stood under the teaching of one of the master rabbis, Gamaliel himself. Timothy wasn't like that. He was young and he was inexperienced. Paul said, don't let anyone set you aside because of that. You continue to proclaim the word of God that you have been taught and you have been received. And then notice what he says also down here in verse 2. As it continues on, he says, Timothy, I want you to preach the word the instant in season, out of season. That means preach the word of God when it is a good opportunity and when it is appropriate, but also when it's not a good opportunity, when it's not appropriate. He said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. In the literal language here, you could read it like this. Exhort with all long-suffering and all doctrine. The modifier there, all, applies to both. In other words, he said, Timothy, preach all of the word. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he said that we are to go into all the world, making disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things whatsoever I have taught you. The Apostle Paul and Jesus today would have a very difficult time in the religious climate that we have today. They would say, you can get on some things, but you've got to stay away from this. In fact, I came to know the Lord in a church where the pastor told me that very thing. He said, if you want to be successful as a preacher, when you go, stay around the cross. And what he was saying is that I don't want you, as a preacher, if you want to make sure that people will always want you back, don't get on those biblical issues that can cause problems. Turn back over to Acts chapter 20. Remember, Paul said that he had not held back. In verse 20, he said that he held back nothing that was profitable unto you. But I've showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, teaching both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. He taught everyone. Paul didn't care where the people were from. He didn't care what they looked like. He didn't care how they were dressed. He didn't care whether or not if they had a bath every day or they didn't. He didn't care if they had the best jobs or no job. The Apostle Paul taught taught and preached and reached out to everyone. And what he taught was that repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he taught. He said, what I want you to know is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and for the sins of the world. The only way that you and anyone else can obtain righteousness is by putting your trust in Jesus and what he did, and only in what he did. Now look at verse 22. And this is where I believe that the elders who came there from Ephesus probably narrowed their brows, and they narrowed their eyes and they looked at Paul, and they probably looked among each other when Paul began to say what he was going to say next. He says, "And now, behold, look, I am going bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Except, save," it says in the King James, "save that the Holy Spirit has witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Paul said, "I do not know what is ahead of me when I leave you. But one thing I do know, from things that God has revealed through prophets to me, is that I am going someplace where I am going to suffer bonds and afflictions. I am going to be put into jail. My freedom is going to be taken away. I will not be able to come to you as I have in the past." In verse 24, Paul goes on to say, and I can imagine that he stood back with his head up straight, not flinching, not acting like he's seeking anyone's pity, but I believe he says this with all the strength and integrity that was part of Paul's nature and character. He said, "But none of these things, whether it's affliction or it's being arrested and put in bonds, whatever it is," he said, "but none of those things move me. They're not shaking me off course." He says, "Neither do I count my life dear unto myself." Paul, what he was saying here is that, you know, I like living, but if the Lord's will is for me to go on and meet him in glory, if it's his will that I give my life for him, then that's fine with me. And another place the Apostle Paul said that I'm in a straight part betwixt two. He said that I would rather go on and be with the Lord. He said that would be far greater, but he said, "I know that if it is the Lord's will and I remain here working, then that's more fruitful labor for me." And what he's saying is that gives me a chance to work and be faithful and watch the Lord produce more fruit through my life. He also said that it would be a benefit to those to whom he ministered to. And I believe Paul loved to minister to people. I believe Paul loved to see people come to Christ. I believe he loved to watch them grow. And I believe he loved to watch them mature and begin to produce fruit in their own life. I believe if there was anything that excited Paul and thrilled him, that was it. Watching his children grow up. Nevertheless, he said that, "I don't even count my life precious, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." You know what Paul said here? I mean, you have to look at it closely. But what he's saying is this, that if there's anything that he personally holds dear in his life, listen carefully. Paul said if there was anything personal in his life that he was holding as precious and dear, it would keep him from fulfilling the ministry that the Lord called him to. I wish that everyone could grasp what that means. What that means is if there's anything in your life at all, I mean if any little part of your life whether it is an attitude or whether it is a desire or whether it is a practice or a habit, whatever it is, if there's something in your life that you are holding on to because it's precious to you, you will never, ever experience the fullness of being used by God. And as a consequence, you will never, ever experience the fullness of the joy that comes with that kind of service. I can't think of anything more precious that people hold dear to themselves than their own life, unless it's the lives of their children. Paul said, the most important and precious thing to me was fulfilling the ministry to which God had called me. And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Can you see that? Paul is talking to these dear men that traveled to Miletus from the church at Ephesus. And they're sitting there and they're listening as Paul is beginning to, he's talking about what's happening. And obviously, when he gets down through here, they realize that his message to them is taking on negative undertones or overtones. And they're wondering, what is Paul getting ready to say here? What is he building up to? And then he says to them, you will never see me again. You must understand, these people love Paul. To them, Paul was more than just a pastor. He was more than just a spiritual father and guide to them. He was their friend, their confidant. He was a fellow brother in the faith, and I imagine that any evening or any lunch or any time at all that you had the privilege to spend with Paul was that kind of time that you did not want to end. Can you imagine sitting down and talking to Paul, saying, hey Paul, what did you mean when you wrote to the church in Corinth? You know, I heard about that letter. In fact, I got a copy of it and I read it, and I saw this part in there where you said such and such about this. What did you mean about that? I think I understand the basis, but what exactly did you mean? What did Jesus show you when he revealed this to you? This precious man of the Word and a faithful servant of the Lord has said to these people who loved him very much, you're never going to see me again. Now, you see, I believe Paul was preparing them. He did not want this church to lose heart. Because the Apostle Paul knows what any godly pastor knows, and that is that the church is more than any man or pastor. It is. No church should cease simply because something happens and the pastor is no longer there. The church should always go on. If the people in that church know the Lord and they love Him and they're walking with Him, no church should ever go under simply because the pastor of that moment can no longer be there for any reason. So he wanted the church in Ephesus to know, I'm not deserting you. I'm going on to a new phase in my ministry. It is a phase that requires the Lord. The Lord has shown me that it's going to require me to enter a stage where I will never be able to return to Ephesus again. And he wanted to make sure that they knew that it was not because that he did not love them, and it wasn't because he was giving up on them, and that he didn't care about them anymore, but he wanted them to know that they were still God's personal possession. In verse 26, he goes on to say, wherefore I take you to record this day, to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. And what he meant by that was that I believe he was probably referring back to something that the prophet Ezekiel learned when the Lord came to him and said, Ezekiel, I want you to go to Israel. I want you to prophesy to them. I want you to tell them what my will is. I want you to turn from their sins. And Ezekiel didn't go for a while. He just kept sitting. I mean, I don't blame him. The Lord said, I'm sending you to a stiff-necked people or to people with foreheads like flint that are not going to listen to you. I mean, good night. I wonder if the Lord had told me, Walter, I'm going to send you to a small island called Carriacou where nobody is going to listen to you. But I want you to go down there and proclaim my word. They're going to stone you. They'll probably put you in jail. They'll make fun of you. They're going to cause all kinds of trouble for you. And no one's going to listen to you, but I want you to go anyway. Would you have been willing to go? Now, Ezekiel sat around at least for a week, as I understand it, from what he said. And finally, the Lord came to Ezekiel. Said, Ezekiel, I have something to say to you. Know this, that these people, if they die in their sins, they're going to pay the consequences, but I am going to require the blood at your hands. Because I have called you to go and tell them what my word has said. And if you do not go, if you disobey me, you're going to be responsible for those people to some degree. So Paul says here, I am pure from the blood of all men. And in verse 27, he explains by saying, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. At no time did Paul shrink back from telling them exactly what God's word said. Not once. I don't remember exactly how long Paul had been in Ephesus. But this I know, that when Paul left Ephesus, they knew a man of God had been there. And they knew the word of God had been shared. Paul, the Apostle Paul goes on as he speaks to the elders from Ephesus. He says, therefore, take heed, pay attention unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has made you overseers to feed the flock of God which he has purchased with his own blood. He said, men, you all have been entrusted into taking care of that flock. It's a precious flock. They may not always look like it. They may not always act like it. They may not always smell like it. But they are precious to God in that God paid for it by his own blood. That's how precious it is. I've had a lot of precious things in my life, folks, but never one time have I paid for it with my blood. God paid for this church, as well as Wimbledon Bible Church and all of those here. He's paid for you with his blood. And therefore, he says to the elders, he says to them, don't take this lightly. Your responsibility for feeding the flock. And what do you think he meant by feeding the flock? Do you think he meant getting grass and cutting it up for them? Making salads? No way. He was talking about being faithful to make sure that those people had the word of God preached to them consistently and faithfully and regularly. And look what he says in verse 29. He says, for I know this after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Paul said, as soon as I'm gone, and they know I'm not coming back, there are some people that are waiting in the wings that are going to come in and try to take over, and they're going to try to use you to their own hurt. That's what a wolf does. Wolves are not interested in caring for sheep other than filling their bellies with the flesh of the sheep. That's all wolves want. He goes on to say, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. He says they're going to twist things to draw people to their side. To take you away from that sound teaching that I've given to you and did not hold back the whole counsel of God. He said, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. I must confess, the first time I ever shed tears over a people was about, let me think now, it would have been a little bit over 12 years ago as I sat in my backyard in Grand Bay on Kariakou, and I literally wept over the people of Kariakou. I never did that before, and I have not did it since, but I did that night. I had a vision, not the kind of vision where God has enabled me to see something in the next sea or an angel has seen something, but in my own mind, I envisioned seeing something like what we see today. A church in Wynwood, Kariakou, Grenada. A church that is proclaiming the gospel, that salvation is a free gift apart from all works. A church that is filled with all kinds of people from every part of Kariakou. A church that would hold up above all things the standard of God's Word, contrary to the traditions that have been here and other traditions that are around us, that the ultimate thing that will be exalted here is God's Word, which in the Psalms says that the only thing exalted above the name of God is God's Word, nothing else. I believe that Paul himself is in tears as he was telling these brethren, these friends, that he was never going to return. But you see, Paul came to a point in his life where he realized that his children were now growing up. And when children grow up, there comes a point in life when you have to begin to let go. You don't push them away, but you begin to release your grip and let them go out on their own. And I believe that Paul was convinced that the people in Ephesus knew the Lord and they had received enough instructions that when he was gone, they were going to stay on course and remain faithful. Not to Paul, not to the elders, not to that building, that meeting place, but they were going to remain faithful to the Lord no matter what came. In verse 32, he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God." He said, I'm opening my hands, and I'm releasing you into the care of God himself. And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He said, I'm transferring you unto the direct hand of God in his care. I love you, but I'm moving on. And then in verse 33, look at this. I love this. I'm so glad this is here. He said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Never once did Paul go to someone and say, hey, you know, I'm your pastor. I'm your preacher. I'm the one that's been nourishing the Word of God to you. You owe me something. You need to give more to the church and you need to do that. He never once begged for money. Instead, he said in verse 34, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul said that not only did I work for myself, but I also worked for those that were working with me. He was a tent maker. Paul was not a man that was afraid to get his hands dirty, to provide for himself and the material needs of himself and those that were with him. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And I can see this, folks. Can you see it? The Apostle Paul is kneeling on the beach in this damp sand. And these other elders from Ephesus, their Manitas, are kneeling around him. And I can hear them sniffing back tears, and maybe some are even just crying out loud. And some can stand it no more. They reach over and they grab a hold of Paul's neck and they just begin to weep and cry. As he prayed with them. And they wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for these words which he spake that they should see his face no more. But look at the last line. They didn't stay in the sand. They didn't continue to cry. There is a place for crying. There is a place for mourning. There is a place for missing those that you're separated from. But eventually they got out of the sand and they walked with him over to the ship. And there they went their own ways. I don't know what lies ahead for 2004. I will tell you this, that I have a vision of much more yet to be done here in Wimberg through this church. But it's going to take the cooperation of everyone. And it's not only this community, folks, there's much of Carriacou. There's another church on Carriacou that's doing an excellent job, but there's still a lot of work. And just as it was mentioned earlier tonight, I have the hope and I have I can envision where some of you here at one time will grow up so much, and even though you may be doing other things in life, that you could come to the place where the Lord could call you to serve and starting a church someplace else here on Carriacou, or maybe even PM, or maybe even on Union, or maybe even, God knows where He would have you to go. You know, there are many people today that are heaping to themselves, teachers having itching ears, hearing the things that they want to hear. But I have been surprised to learn, I believe, that there are people all over the world that are still hungry for the simple and pure teaching of God's Word. I say that because of the stats on my website, how they show that there are people from, like, the Russian Federation, Bosnia-Herzegovina, places in Africa and in the Middle East. So there are Muslim countries and even in the Middle and even in Micronesia, where they're coming to the website to listen to the simple teaching that we put on our website. And I assure you folks, I know that I'm anything but a great teacher and preacher. I've often said, and it's the truth, I'm not just making this up, but I've often said that I believe that somewhere there is a person better prepared to do the job of building this church here, but for one reason or another, they did not come. And when they didn't come, the Lord looked down at the bottom of the barrel and He found me. And I was willing to listen. There are people here that can be used in the same way. All it takes is a faithful heart. Someone who is willing to allow the God to equip you and thoroughly furnish you and give Him a chance to use you to change the world. To use the Apostle Paul, and as a consequence of Paul and a few other men, we're here. They were people just like you and I. I wonder, is there someone here tonight that will say, Lord, I'm giving myself to you to be used without reserve, holding nothing back. I empty my hands that you may put whatever you want in them. I empty my hands that if you want, and if it is your will, I'm willing to have you put handcuffs on them, if that is your will. Is anyone here that is willing to say, Lord, without reserve, I'm yours tonight? Let's bow our heads. Lord, my heart is moved as I see this touching and tender scene where Paul is kneeling on this beach with those men of God from the church at Ephesus. Their grief and their sorrow is almost tangible. As they hear this man that they've grown to love, this man that no doubt contained many battle scars from where he had been stoned and left for dead and suffered shipwreck and been attacked by wild animals, as well as being falsely imprisoned and put in shackles. And now this, their dear friend, their father in the faith, saying, "You'll never see me again. But God is going to watch over you and continue to use you by His grace and by His mercy and by His power." Father, I am not only thankful for being on Kariakou, lovely as it is, I'm especially thankful for all the people here. When I look out the Lord, I see young people as well as older people and all shapes and sizes. And Lord, I see them. I catch a glimpse of what You have in store for them if they would just be faithful and just trust You and walk with You. The people here are just as intelligent and able as people I have met anywhere. There is no lacking and no deficit in the people that live on this island we call Kariakou. And Father, it is my hope and my desire that You would help them to catch the vision of themselves in the center of Your will, even as I see it tonight. I pray that You have put Your precious arms around this church along with Your angels to watch over and protect and strengthen us and guide us. And I pray especially, Lord, and I trust that others even now are praying with me, that You will do whatever is necessary. Send whatever spiritual forces that is required to tear down this wall of darkness and bondage and fear that's been built around this village of Wynwood in particular, but also all the other hearts on Kariakou tonight that still do not know You. Please, Lord. Don't allow the enemy to have his way in the lives of people here, to keep them in darkness. And Jesus has sent the light of the world into the hearts and the bosoms of Your children that can share that light with those around them. I pray for the souls of many families, of those represented here. I think of mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts and cousins, friends, school teachers, co-workers. Almost everyone here knows someone that doesn't know You. And they stand in peril of hell tonight unless someone does what Paul did, sharing the gospel with them out of love. Father, I pray that You just watch over us all. I pray that Your perfect will be done in all of our lives. I pray especially, Lord, that You will watch over every area of Kariakou tonight. Because of the special holiday, I pray that You would not allow anyone to get hurt. I know there's a lot of wickedness that would be going on, but I pray that You keep people safe. If for no other reason, that they may have another chance to hear the gospel of Christ while there's still yet time. In all these things we pray, in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for visiting LCM and choosing to listen to one of our messages. I encourage you to share this message with others. If this message has been a benefit to you in any way, I would like to hear from you. You may contact me by email at robins@caribsurf.com, spelled R-O-B-I-N-S as in Sam, at C-A-R-I-B as in boy, S as in Sam, U-R-F as in Frank.com. You may also write us by regular mail at First Line is Walter Robinson II. Robinson is spelled R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N. Second Line is Hillsborough, P-O. Hillsborough spelled H-I-L-L-S-B-O-R-O-U-G-H. And then P-O as in post office. but with no box number. Third line is Carriacou, spelled Carriacou, comma, Grenada. Last line is West Indies. Our phone number overseas is area code 473-443-7764. Our websites are lastchanceministries.com and windwardbiblechurch.org. Please visit LCM often as we continue to expand and update it. May the Lord bless you.